Welcome to Pixelated episode 87. I'm your host, Will Saddleberg. This week, Google shocked us all by surprise announcing the upcoming Pixel 10a. And while we're still waiting until its February 18th pre-order date for some real concrete info, it's enough for Damian Abner and myself to share our predictions, whether we expect the Pixel 10a to be another hit from Google, and whether you should pick up a Pixel 9a instead. We're also talking about the mysterious case of Google's February 2026 security patch, which seemed to include next to no changes, and we wrap up by talking about Google's new Super Bowl ad for Gemini with one pressing question. Why is this ad so sad? It's all coming up.
So Google have just decided that's it. Enough is enough. We're going to effectively reveal the Pixel 10a. They've teased it in a new ad. Does it show us anything we already don't know about this device or we're excited about? I'm not really sure.
So when the leaks were happening, I think all of us on the team were like, why does this image look so weird? Why does the render of the Pixel 10a look so 100%. Weird? And it's been captured in the newsletter. And we now know that it's because there is no camera bump. It is a completely flat It's the back is completely flat. Last year, the story behind the 9A was Google did not set out to make a completely flat camera bump. If you remember the year before the 8A, the lift on the camera bar was just so minimal. And the story with the 9A is that they didn't originally set out to do that, but as they were building the phone, they noticed how it was just so minimal. Like, if they played around with it, they could get it to not be a bar, and that's what they did. But there was still like a raised oval lip around the back of the phone. But with the 10A, as we've seen yesterday, it is completely flat, and the teaser that Google has goes at great length, showing that it's nothing.
How do you feel about the fact that this is a recycled slash, it's the least recycled design ever on a phone I think I've ever seen that I can envisage. Like, there is nothing like this, I think, on Android for a long time.
I mean, look, we've seen, you could argue the Pixel 10, right? Like, put the regular one aside, but certainly the Pros and the Fold. I mean, to me, the issue with this one is that it almost feels like they took the ring around the camera off just to have some kind of cosmetic difference, like not because they thought it was better or worse without it. Like, I'd almost argue like it eliminates a little bit of the protection for the camera compared to the 9A, but it obviously is going to
not necessarily. Because it's just behind the surface.
It's behind the surface, but I still feel like you don't want to put your phone on a table and then realize that you put it on something that, like, just the way you put it down, like, scratched the glass that is in front of the lens. And I feel like the ring could have helped with that. Maybe I'm overthinking it. It's possible.
Oh, it's plastic, isn't it? It has to be.
It's plastic. The back is plastic. You're right.
But the camera.
The camera's
with the camera
glass. Ooh, probably.
I'm very. Oh, so it's not one seamless piece?
I don't know. Well, actually, now I don't know.
That's a really good question. What do you think? So if... Okay, let's speculate a little bit.
Yeah.
If they make this one big piece and the camera lens is plastic,
right,
then over time it's going to pick up so many scratches
for
that it might actually be genuinely be worthless as a camera in a few years' time. Even with a case on, like, plastic does scratch. Like, you can buff it out, but not in the same way that you can with glass.
Yeah. It's got to be two different pieces, right? Right? I don't know.
What if it's all glass? What if it isn't plastic at the back? What if it's all glass?
There's no way.
No way for an A series.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Mm.
But yeah, so... Okay, so in terms of what we think, I'm very... I admittedly, I'm over-indexed on this design. I love this design.
I also love this design. Yeah.
So... honestly, that kind of makes a big deal for me that this is my platonic ideal of a phone. And it looks like they just like made it, like, I think according to the leak dimensions, they made it like 1 millimeter thicker or whatever. So there is some engineering work in it, I guess. But no, this is the design I want. I was definitely not as interested with 9A before this. Now I am slightly a bit more. But yeah, it is, design is, it's just a rounded rectangle.
Truly, do you think this is else. Do you think this is kind of a bit weird? Because this feels like old is new again. I think we talked about it last year when the 9A came out, that it felt like, and I don't want to say that it's paying homage to the iPhone 4 series. But a lot of people have made those similarities. I think we have as well.
Absolutely.
And in some ways, it almost makes this phone stand out more than the competition. Like you have this device that isn't trying to do everything that every other phone is doing, but it's doing it at a cheaper price anyway. And you have this classic-ish? It's kind of classic design, isn't it? It's classic design.
I mean, I've complained about this before in my past writing career, but like I've been so frustrated by the idea of like that any budget phone feels the need to build a camera bump, because every sub $500 Android phone does not need a camera bump. It's just there to make the device look premium, because people associate a camera bump with better cameras and therefore a more premium device. And so last year when Google did this, I found it like incredibly refreshing and did not care at all about some of the complaints people had of like, oh, this loses the Pixel's identity, because one, I don't think it does. I think it keeps it. And two, it's not my problem anyway. That's Google's issue, not mine as a consumer.
Who else is doing a flat phone?
Well, exactly. So this kind of brings like, on the flagship side, obviously everything has a camera bump. And then, as I said, on the budget side, everything is pretending to need a camera bump. And so, you know, this is kind of one of a kind in a way, like, or at the very least, like very, do the nothing budget phones have a camera bump? Actually, I can't remember. I've not used a nothing phone very often. So no, it's possible I've that like 3A doesn't have one or something. But
yeah,
but as far as like mainstream brands go, right? Because I would put nothing in the enthusiast category. I would say that this is the only one that you'll find, and certainly the only one you'll find in like a carrier store in the US.
Mm. I think this is also a little bit weird in terms of the optics of this device, because obviously this, just going back to the kind of, it is an announcement trailer, I guess, revealing details when we can pick it up, which I believe is February the 18th on the Google Store.
Yeah.
So yeah, the I think, like I say, looking at the background to this and the teaser trailer, it's a bit weird because they've shown off a color that we've already had of the Pixel 9a. So I wonder if that diminishes. I mean, recent leaks have said, kind of shown us that there are going to be other colors, and we're excited to potentially see, I believe there's a kind of a reddish color.
Yeah.
Berry.
Seen in the background, the teaser.
Okay, it is in the teaser.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't led with that one to begin with, but at the same time, the teaser trailer is very red heavy. I just find it a little bit weird that, like I say, they've gone with this particular color variant, the iris color again, because it is so similar to the 9A. And it kind of, I think, again, it pulls the 9A back into focus, knowing what we know through leaks. Obviously, nothing has been confirmed yet in terms of specifications. It does seem as though the 9A now looks like a really good option for people, I guess. I mean, I love the phone anyway. I think we're all kind of in agreement that it is a fantastic device. But if the 10A is more of the same, does that mean that a 10A is going to be a fantastic device potentially? Or is it just, oh, we've added a version number to this one at the front of it?
I guess it depends on your expectations, right? Because like, if you expect this to be a leap, even just like a generational leap over the Pixel 9A, like every spec leak we've seen implies otherwise. Like it's going to perform very similar, if not identically, to the Pixel 9A in every regard that matters, from, you know, raw performance to the display to the camera. Like all of this stuff seems like essentially unchanged. You know, the processor is either identical or it's, you know, it's maybe the normal Tensor G4 version used in the Pixel 9, but either way, it won't really matter. It's just a difference in modem. I don't know. Like, I don't think the 10A is going to be a bad phone, but it's going to be, you know, one of those things where every review
there's
is kind of
a caveat to it.
Yeah, it's
there
just
will be a caveat.
It's what you experienced last year or could have experienced last year, and the only you know, sure, it re-ups the 7 years as opposed to if you were to buy a Pixel 9a right now, you'd only have 6 years remaining. I still think that's more than enough for
that's
most
so
people.
Long. That's such a long time. That is such
but,
a long time.
But, you know, and I wrote an article this week about, like, just if you think this is the year that you're going to buy a new Pixel A series device, just and you if you have $400, like, go grab the 9A because all you're losing out on is a year of support and you're saving $100 for it. Like, I think that's a pretty fair trade, all things considered. So, you know, once this is out, right, I expect the 9A to, you know, either there's no way they could sell it for cheaper. So I assume it'll just be discontinued. And the conversation that we'll have to have is about, like, how is it as a replacement for the 9A rather than as a successor to the 9A when the 9A is still around, which it is right now. It's going to be a difficult phone to kind of review in a way because it's sort of already out, but not really. I don't know.
Do you think that Google take this off the store? You said you think it's going to be discontinued. That was going to be my main question and, like, a big query to both of you. Like, if they keep the 9A on the store, which they've done with previous releases, surely, like, most people are going to be like, why would I, for the sake of...
You'd just be paying more for different pricing. Colors.
Yeah, you're paying more for a different color.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, is that an Apple strategy or is that more of... Then again, they update the chipset and obviously the rumored specifications are that this is going to have the exact same core internals as the 9A. So I think this could be a bit of a kind of a banana skin for Google in some ways. It could be business as usual, another fantastic A series phones. And I think that's where Google makes the most gains, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think that their best product lineup has almost always been the A series, apart from their earbuds, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
I find that this could be, and I hope it isn't a turning point for the A series in terms of people looking at it. Now, why are they charging more for this device when it's the same thing?
I don't know. I think we have to talk about this phone right now because we're at a transition point. The good news for Google and for Pixel owners is that, like, you know, come July, come June, none of this will matter. The Pixel 10a, I really can't see them keeping the 9a on shelves because it will be so similar that, like, it's not like when the 7a rolled out and you could buy the 6a for cheaper, but it was, like, not as good of a phone. They will have to remove the 9A, right? Like, I can't imagine both. And so if you walk into a store and the 10A is there for $500 in June, you're not going to be thinking about the 9A. You're just going to pick it up. And probably if the 9A is any indication, get a good phone. It's just that in this awkward, and this kind of happens all the time with Pixel because they're always discounted. But anytime there's a transition between models, there's always a conversation about, like, should you just go buy last year's right now and just lose out on a year of software support, but then save a bunch of money? And this year, more than ever, the answer is, like, yes, if you can, because you're really not going to lose anything but a year of software support. So that's kind of where I'm at. I think this is going to be a great phone, but it's going to be a little difficult to talk about it until, like, April.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Abner, as well. It's always questions for both of you. Because I've been thinking about this recently. I know I alluded to that it was kind of, I'm concerned a little bit, but I'm wondering if this is a realignment for the A series. And I'd love to ask someone from Google this question. So we've seen Apple do this with their own hardware. They'll kind of will have a device that hangs around the SE and it'll be in the lineup for a few years and it doesn't necessarily need many changes. It might not get a chipset upgrade, but I wonder if this is Google's way of saying, okay, we have these chips left over from the Pixel 9 series, Pixel 9a, the Tensor G4. Next year, potentially the A series will be powered by G5. I mean, I don't think that's a great kind of Sherlock Holmes level intellect to try and make that assumption. I wonder if Google is potentially going to do this for the A series to create more of a separation. I know the core selling point has always been it's the same chip as the flagship device, but I do wonder if long-term it makes more sense to give people the previous generation chip, cheaper price point. It allows them to keep bringing the price down.
If they keep the old chip, it has to somehow impact the price in that it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. But I think right now the G5 is too expensive a chip and I probably think that if it's expensive now, it'll keep being expensive and they probably have to wait for a G6 or just a cheaper next gen chip to put into the A series. So that's my thinking about why we don't have how they're doing it. I I think it's a better selling point for them if they can say that it uses the same chip. I think that needs to, that's how they can justify the price. Mm-hmm. But if they're sticking for not, if the plan going forward is using the same, is using an older chip, I think that needs to be reflected in the price for the consumer.
I'm curious to see, you know, because the rumors about price for the 10A are that it's going to launch at the same $500 price point as the 9A launched at, and the 8A, I think, before it. You know, I'm curious to see moving forward, depending on what they do with the chips, how the RAM shortage affects this too. Obviously, it's not, doesn't mm-hmm. seem to be affecting this generation, but like most analysts seem to like don't think it's going to be fixed this year. They think it's going to extend into 2027. So I am curious to see how the A series sort of and every budget phone sort of deals with that. You know, we've seen leaked Galaxy S26 pricing that implies like those phones are getting more expensive. And obviously when you're at the budget end, you have a lot less headroom to work with. So yeah, I don't know. Like I could see Google having to stick on G4. I could see Google having to, you know, make a different tensor chip, like a G5E, you know, like something that that demonstrates that it's maybe it's a TSMC made chip, but it's, you know, it's a slower chip or has less cores or something. Like I could see that. I don't, you know, obviously they're not going to want to do it because so much of what Google wants to do with Pixel is AI related, and you need processing power and RAM for any on device stuff. But it's going to have to be a compromise they're going to make in this market.
I you raise an incredible point. I do wonder, yeah, how they handle this, because there is going to be some marketing things that they have to deal with this, or kind of how they're going to talk about it as a product. Does this mean that the A series therefore becomes a 3 and 4 year upgrade cycle for most people? I'm not really sure, but yeah, kind of a strange one. But another strange one that happened, I think we'll leave that one behind because we probably will learn more in a couple of weeks' time when Google does, when these devices eventually become up for pre-order for people and we can kind of learn the full specifications. And I think we've covered 10A to death now. We will be covering it even more in depth as well when hopefully we get the opportunity to spend some time with them. I want to talk about something really interesting, and this was one that we were scratching our heads at Abner this week, and I know we kind of have no precedent for this before, but the February patch rolled out right on cue, perfect timing, zero device specific updates, which is even saying that out loud sounds weird.
I don't know. Pixel updates have felt weird in the past few, past year or so, I guess, in terms of when they come out. It does seem that Google's taking more time to release updates. In this one in particular, there are no functional updates. There are no bug fixes. Which people obviously still care about. They are the main Android security patch has nothing. The only security fix is a specific one for the just Pixel devices. So you're installing basically a 20 megabyte OTA just for a security fix, a sole security fix. And that is never very exciting.
It's weird. You can tell that I'm flabbergasted by the entire situation, because there are people who are having problems with the phones, and there are constant little issues that we all have with every device. And for Google not to even, I mean, I'm not doubting that they haven't attempted to fix something, but to not push anything, it could be, I don't know, one pixel wrong. There was a pixel out of alignment on the status bar, that kind of stuff. Like, there is nothing. And it's really strange. It's really, really strange to see this. I do wonder how this affects the Pixel 6 and Pixel 7 series, because we know that both of those devices haven't been updated for a few months now. They weren't included in the January patch. So although those devices are technically eligible, I do wonder if there's something bigger at play here in terms of how those devices are updated. Has that switched to quarterly updates? Nobody's any the wiser. And this patch with basically no fixes kind of confuses the situation even more.
Yeah. I think too, what I was alluding to in regards to updates have been weird. It does seem that Google in the past year has been more trying to conserve their resources, engineering resources, releasing updates every month is not, I'm not sure if it's the best use of their time. It's okay. The context for this month specifically is that next month is the big update, QPR 3, the last major Android 16 release. That's going to, that as seen in the betas, that's moving a lot of things around. That's going to be a sizable, meaningful update. So I guess the question, and this other thing to factor is that these updates, there's a lot of testing, carrier testing, partner testing that goes into releasing these updates. They might be, they might appear to not do anything for users, but there's still a process in submitting updates that I assume is pretty intensive. So it does, again, it does seem that Google is trying to be more efficient about this, and whether that means that no more monthly security patches, whether that's what is a, what's the difference between a month and a quarter, really, and especially if you more broadly for the entire Android ecosystem, is there a better way to do updates? Basically, that is a question worth asking, I think.
How does Apple handle their iOS updates? I don't really know. Do they kind of throw them out regularly, or is it kind of
need to, basically, right?
They have a cadence. They have a, there's something always in beta testing. Yeah,
but it's like 0.1, 0.01 updates. Like,
yeah, it's not a monthly.
Yeah.
It's probably closer to bi-monthly. And I don't know. That I feel like there's some efficiencies there to be had.
Yeah, because that feels like maybe Google kind of is eyeing that and thinking, as you kind of said there, Abner, is that it's a better use of the resources to have more people working on these bigger updates. And I guess with, they kind of stretch quite thin right now. So they have Canary, don't they? They have Canary, QPR, and I'm guessing versions of QPR for specific updates. Like that is a lot of resources that you have to kind of allot to these particular updates, and then security patches on top on a monthly basis to fix these issues. And then certain issues tend to linger for a lot longer.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some reasoning behind that. There could be an idea that this, I mean, I don't think this is a firebreak update, but I wonder if this is the first sign that, okay, QPR updates are now much more important than they ever have been, because we can do a multitude of fixes all in one go.
Yeah, I think, plus it's the, there's also update fatigue. About, I think most people, when they see they have an update, they're kind of hesitant. I don't think people ever, besides feature drops, I don't think people go out of their way, most people, to update their phones. They just do what the overnight thing or whatever. They trust that.
I also wonder as well, like we've kind of been conditioned to update our phones ridiculously regularly. But I wouldn't update my computer. I wouldn't update my in-car stereo system like at the same rate. I wouldn't do it every couple of weeks. Like, yeah. It would be very rare. I want it to work first and foremost.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't considered the computer comparison of like when I see that little Windows update logo on my taskbar, I'm like, I'm like, no. This is gonna break everything on my computer. Do not install this until, and sure enough, there will be like a, you know, whatever headline. Insert your publication here. 2 weeks later of like, the latest Windows update broke half of all known drivers, which obviously Android does not do nearly as much. It's not to say we haven't had bad updates, but I think it's a little more reliable than that. But yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, I think the regular people thing is kind of a good point here, which is that most people are just letting their phone do their thing in the background. And if there's a very, very minor security fix that rolled out with this patch, nothing else, like I don't think people are going to be annoyed about it either. Regular people, not enthusiasts, but are going to care either way. I would be surprised if they even noticed their phone got updated.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people's phones will update automatically. So as I say, this it's not available for the Pixel 6 and Pixel 7 series. We don't know why that is at this stage. There hasn't been an update for a couple of months. My theory, my personal theory, and this is me speaking for me here, is it they've probably gone to quarterly updates for those. It kind of makes sense. They weren't expected to be updated for 5 years.
Yeah.
But Google gave owners an olive branch. I think it's a fantastic olive branch to get 5 years of updates, and even to go to quarterly and potentially get these quarterly platform updates is fantastic, because you just wouldn't get that elsewhere. So yeah, if you just want a, if you just want your phone to say February 2025, 26, God, I'm getting my years wrong, patch, then go ahead and get this. If not, I'm going to say it. Somebody strike me down if I'm incorrect. You don't necessarily need to install this. You don't necessarily, it's weird to say that out loud, but you don't necessarily need to install this because there's nothing game breaking that could potentially be major here. I know it's a, is it a vision processing unit resolution for Pixel phones, which is, I think it's a handoff between AI processing, GPU and CPU. So yeah, nothing that I don't think most people will care or too drastically about. But let's get into something else interesting this month. We've just had Google share their Super Bowl halftime. Is it halftime commercial? Halftime advert?
Well, it'll just air at some point during the game.
Okay, right. Well, you guys need to teach me about this because I'm not an NFL guy. I don't know. Sure. I don't know your American sports. So you're a big NFL fan, Will. So yeah. Please give me the lowdown on what this means and why it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's Google's and Abner, you included this in your intro, in your lead. It's their big game ad because you have to pay the NFL to say the word Super Bowl. So this is Google. They usually have a Super Bowl ad airing sometime during the game. And this is it. It's been Gemini focused for at least a couple of years now, and it's Gemini focused this year. And I would say it's a really weird ad. I at the very least, like it certainly spurred a lot of conversation in Slack this morning for all of us. On its face, it is an ad about it is an ad showing what you can do with Gemini to edit photos, like kind of on the fly, or to bring up photos. So it's this mom unseen, kind of showing her also mostly unseen son the new room in the house they're moving, the new home they're moving to, and it's like, oh, this is what your room's gonna look like. Gemini can put stuff in it from this photo I have of your current room, and now it looks like what your room's gonna look like when we move, and now the walls are blue, and so on and so forth. But it's set to this Randy Newman song that is very, it's a little weepy, and near the end of it, it takes this like very odd turn where the mom's voice like starts to like break as they're talking about like it'll be just like before, and like I don't, my initial reaction was like, did someone die in this family? Which is incredibly bleak, but like, I was not the only one in our Slack channel that thought this. So I'll let one of you jump in on your thoughts on Google's Super Bowl ad.
So yeah, it's a good ad in terms of get the functionality, expressing the functionality, that showcasing a room, to like adjust a child to big change, that is pretty good in terms of like, you just want to get them familiar with stuff, just to adjust that kind of thing is actually a novel use of AI that was not possible before. And so from that perspective, I think one of the better use cases of Nano Banana and image generation that wasn't obvious at the start beyond just like generating random crap was that like if you interior design, it's generally good for interior design, like managing what your current room will look like if with adjustments or whatever. That's a generally a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a use case now that's quite common for everybody. And the other thing, the good part of the ad was showcasing the Google Photos integration. If you are a user of this stuff, it gives you not, if you upload backup to Google Photos, that is a good incentive, another way to use Gemini, etc., etc. But so the intended tone of the ad is clearly heartfelt.
Yeah.
There's always a nostalgia play. They showed some clips of the kid growing up with the mom, and yeah, that's it's heartfelt, and I think most people will recognize that that's intended thing.
Yeah,
that to what you were saying. The tone, there is an undertone of like
sadness, like, a little bit.
Loss. Sadness. Yeah. I think loss. Loss is the first thing I thought. Yeah.
And especially like Randy, like you said, Randy Newman, Toy Story. But if we all remember how the last Toy Story almost ended. And then there's also, was Randy Newman an Up? Did he do anything for Up?
I'm not sure. I'm not hot on Disney IPs. So I don't know.
No, that's a Giacchino score.
Okay. Yes. Okay. But no, that I immediately thought Up for whatever reason.
I can see that.
Those vibes of, and now here's the question. This is the meta question. Was this intentional? Is this like the best Super Bowl ads get you to talk about them? So
maybe.
I just feel like it was like most of the ad plays how I think they want it to. It's just one of those things. And I compared it. I made a joke, that this is like an audio version of the Kuleshov effect, which is in film when it's an editing technique in film where it's like, if I show a shot of a man staring straight forward and then I show you a shot of soup, your brain is going to think that he's hungry and so on. And so you can change how your brain responds emotionally based on the next image after the same shot of the man. And that's how I feel about this, where I'm like, I hear this and I'm like, I'm seeing all these images and I'm like, right, I'm supposed to be heartfelt and excited for this family that's moving to this new home. But then like, there's something about the way that she's talking about it. She sounds so sad to be moving. And they're like, we'll recreate the garden just like before. And I'm like, before what? Like what happened?
Did they lose their home or something?
Exactly. It just feels like the unspoken off-screen something bad happened.
And to be clear, this ad did not need that.
There's absolutely ways to cut this ad
to be happier. And I'm sure that though, like in these ad meetings, they go through rounds and rounds of notes. And there's probably they have different variants of the voiceover, etc., etc.
Yeah.
The fact that they ran it on this take, was it intentional? That's to go off full conspiracy.
They got me talking about it. They have me talking about it.
I think all of the confusion could have been lost if it wasn't a slideshow at the end, almost like clips.
The whole thing comes together to feel like the end of a sad movie.
I think the only thing I noticed, and this is completely off, really out there, is usually when we see these videos that Google does on YouTube and on other platforms, when they enter in a text box, like a Google search text box or search bar, it's always like a typing on a keyboard.
Yeah.
But this time it's typing on a Pixel phone. You can kind of hear the dull thud of a display that they're touching. So I thought that was a kind of an interesting touch. But the toolbar is looks like it's on a desktop. If you listen to the sound, it does not sound like a keyboard.
I didn't notice that. That's honestly, it seems like an error to me. It's Gemini. It's the web. It's the current web UI and all that. So again, they could have done this any other way, and they would have removed those undertones.
I think the music, all it would have taken was to change the music. The music could have been a tiny, tiny bit more upbeat rather than like reminiscing about a past life kind of thing. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like the ending of a Toy Story movie. And I'm like, I guess that kind of works because a lot of people resonate with that. And you can see the comments on the YouTube video. There's a lot of like positive comments that are like, oh, it's really sad. This is really, really, there's not many saying it's sad actually. So
and one person asking where the dad is.
Well, yeah, it's a strange one, but it is a good, I do think, I agree with you. It's a good demo of what you can do with this tool, because I don't think anybody really going out there and doing that. And in general, AI has not been presented in the best way of how you can utilize these tools. And I think Gemini Nano Banana is fantastic for that. Like you say, you can prototype, you can design, you can change things on the fly quickly without having to have Photoshop skills or just see them in real time. I think that's really, really cool. A really good usage of it.
So the ending tagline of this is a new kind of help from Google. And I guess to more broadly, this speaks to how they are trying to advertise all this. Like you're saying, Damon, everybody is trying to advertise. I think OpenAI had something last year, and I'm sure all of them are going to have something this year.
Oh yeah.
This ad is very much in Google's usual, they go for the heartfelt nostalgia. Parisian Love is their most famous example of using Google search to move to a new place to as you go to major events in your life, etc.
Yeah.
So this is very much in the Google style. I do sometimes wish that their ads were a bit more novel, that their ads were a bit more experimental, I guess. But
well, sometimes they get in trouble. They get yelled at, right? Like I was the thing that this immediately reminds me of, and maybe it is because the Winter Olympics are kicking off like tomorrow. Another thing that will be on NBC that also has the Super Bowl this year. Is there the Olympics ad from 2024 that Google ended up taking down, where they had somebody like generate a letter? They had Gemini generate a letter for the kid to send to his Olympic athlete hero or whatever. You know, Google maybe felt like they flew a little too close to the sky on that one, or mm-hmm. too close to the sun, and so they decided to, you know, go with, and not that that one wasn't trying to be a little heartfelt and melancholy maybe, but they decided to go really safe with this one and be like, nobody's going to yell at us about us showing a kid what his new room's going to look like in the new house. Like I have no anger about that. You know what I mean? There's no sense of like, you don't need AI to do that. Like, so I wonder if that sort of impacts how they're approaching this specific campaign.
It's their brand is always safe. They'll never go for anything edgy or whatever, even though I feel that'd be all interesting. And I could go on about how Pixel ads have been so boring for the past 5 years.
I don't know. They did a vanilla ice cream advert. That's edgy for a Pixel advert. Like, everyone's got a vanilla phone Pro, which is...
It was good if the iPhone wasn't different this year, last year. I can't emphasize that enough. Like, any other year, it would have been fine for the iPhone. It would have been fine to make fun of the iPhone. But last year, they revived... Everything in the lineup changed from the Air to the Pro, so it does not stand up. But that was just continues to be my pet peeve about that.
Yeah. Well, this will air in and around the Super Bowl.
Sunday.
Sunday okay. During the Seahawks and the Patriots. And of course, I can announce that, and I've of course consulted with both of you that the Pixelated Podcast is endorsing the Seattle Seahawks. Congratulations to the Seahawks. Good.
Well, that's news to me, but I back it. Yeah. So it's
I thought this was going to be a thing about the Bills, but
no. Well, sort of. The Patriots are a rival of the Bills, so I will not be rooting for that the Patriots. Sense.
West Coast.
I was going to say, I bow down to both of your knowledge on that. Literally anything, knowing what a player's name would be enough to kind of usurp my NFL knowledge. So I apologize. But go check out the advert if you haven't already seen it. It's confusing. Good messaging, but confusing messaging towards the end. I think they're kind of, hey, if they got 80% of the way, that's all that matters.
I think it was us, you know, for our jobs, reading into it a little bit and analyzing it in a way.
Ads, even beyond that, like everybody's always cynical about ads these days. That's how you view them to your default lens.
Mm. I'm excited to see what they do with other future ones, because obviously now they have Nana Banana as this tool. What else can they kind of advertise as a tool? I'm guessing the integration with more of your account stuff, but then there's a privacy element there. But yeah, Google Super Bowl area ad. I'm not going to say it's at the halftime because I don't know. So
yeah, just sometime during the game.
Will see this ad if you're watching it on NBC, you said? I don't know.
Yeah, NBC US Peacock, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific.
That's all you needed. That's all you needed was Will to correct me there. But thanks guys for joining me. I know this is a short one this week, but we haven't had as much to talk about as we would have liked. But I think there's some nice little topics to get into. And we will be back talking. Yeah, a lot coming up. Pixel 10A, now that we know that the pre-order date is the 18th. So from hopefully in and around that time period, we'll have an idea of what's happening with that device. We believe the S26 is imminent at some point. Yeah. So there's a lot to talk about there. Yeah, it's going to be a fun start to the real smartphone season because it's starting earlier and earlier. But thanks guys for joining me. I've really enjoyed it as always. And I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Pixelated, a 9-to-5 Google podcast. If you enjoyed the show, we ask that you rate and review it on the podcast platform of your choice and help spread the word by sharing the show with friends or on social media.